Hello, my name is Jess Lindley, and this is Arthur's Heroes, the podcast from Arthur's Place, the magazine and social network for young adults with arthritis. You can find us at arthursplace.co.uk and follow Arthur's Place on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This podcast is supported by Novartis UK. We are grateful to Novartis for their support, but they have no influence over the content of the podcast. Welcome to Arthur's Heroes. In this episode, Jess talks to Sarah, our first international guest. They discuss the challenge of being a musician who is diagnosed with arthritis and how Sarah showed the resilience to continue even when it looked like it would be impossible to carry on playing her beloved jazz trumpet. They also discuss her experience of being a student during the pandemic and how she came out of that more determined than ever to achieve her musical goals. Sarah, welcome to Arthur's Heroes. How long have you played the trumpet?
I have played the trumpet for just about 8 years now, I think. Yeah, 7 or 8 years.
So is that the whole time that you've had your arthritis diagnosis? Because you were diagnosed with JIA, am I right in thinking?
Yes. I was diagnosed when I was 11. So that was about, 8 years ago. So I think I was diagnosed right before I started playing the trumpet.
And just to say, if any of the listeners are already picking up on the accent, Sarah is our first overseas podcast guest, which is very exciting. Clearly, Arthur's Place is reaching people from all over the world. So, Sarah, do you want to just say a bit to the podcast listeners about where you're from?
Yes, for sure. I am from Canada. I'm from British Columbia, but I'm currently living in Toronto, Ontario for university. So that is where I'm at right now.
And British Columbia is a long way, right?
It's on the other side of the country, yeah, on the west coast.
So even though it's called British Columbia, it's as far away from Britain as you could get.
Yes, pretty much.
I thought I'd let you do that bit because my Canadian geography is pretty much non-existent. So. So to talk a bit about your JIA diagnosis, When you got diagnosed, how did it affect you? Did it have a big impact on your life at that stage?
It did, yeah. It took me a really long time to get a diagnosis because I was having symptoms from a very young age, but nobody could ever figure out what it was. So I saw a number of doctors for many years, and I think it was about 4 years after my parents realized that something was going on that I was finally able to see a doctor and get a official diagnosis for JIA. And I was pretty young. I was diagnosed when I was 11. So, and I didn't really know what arthritis was. I didn't know anything about it. And so when I was told that I had it, I didn't really know what to think. And unfortunately, the doctor that did diagnose me was not the most kind with telling me what was going on. So that was hard to not have somebody being supportive about it. That, because, you know, again, I had no idea what arthritis was. And then the doctor was not very nice about it. So that was really difficult to understand from a young age.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because at 11, you're really a child, aren't you? So you would think that to be explaining something like that to a child, you'd have a certain level of ability to, not to talk down, but to almost simplify things and make them understandable.
Yeah, and, you know, that unfortunately didn't happen. The doctor was not very good at dealing with my parents either, because they were, you know, their child was just diagnosed with a major disease, and they had a bunch of questions and concerns, and the doctor really didn't address any of them. And the whole situation, it really seemed like it was my fault that I was bothering them or bothering the doctor and just like wasting their time almost. It was very weird, and I remember it being super uncomfortable because I had no idea what was going on.
That sounds like a really hard thing to go through. I think probably a story that probably unfortunately will resonate with a few listeners. But so at that point when you kind of got your diagnosis and gone away with it, did they give you any suggestions about any sort of adjustments that you might need to make to your life, or was it a case of just trial and error?
Actually, the day after I was diagnosed, I was given steroid injections in both my knees. So I really had no time to process anything. At that point, they said, it's so bad, we need to do something right now. So less than 24 hours later, I was back at the hospital, getting all of the fluid drained and steroid injections. And that was the very first time that medication had also ever been brought up. So the very next day, we were already talking about methotrexate and where to go from there. So from the time I was diagnosed to trying to manage it all, it was really just in the span of one day, I had no time to process or to understand anything.
So at that age, how did you kind of come to terms with it? What were your thoughts, feelings at the time? Did you think, oh, I'm going to be different from all my friends now?
Yeah, that was really hard. It was a really big adjustment for me because, especially with the experience of the doctor not being kind when telling me that I had this diagnosis, it made me feel like something was wrong and I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to tell anybody. And I didn't tell anybody for years, really not up until the past couple of years. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to know about it, because I always felt like it was something that was bad and something that was wrong. That was a tough adjustment. I was just kind of always hiding it from everybody for so long.
And I guess through school and everything, that must have been quite a challenging thing to do. And I mean, I don't know about school in Canada, but here, like, there's a lot of sport. There's a lot of, like, carrying huge amounts of stuff around every day. That must have been quite tricky to navigate.
It was, yeah. I did have support from my teachers and everything going through school. Like, those were the only people that I would really tell, because they did have to know about it. So if I had like a bunch of textbooks I had to carry, I would always be able to get a second copy so I could leave one at home and leave one at school so I wouldn't have to be carrying it back and forth. And I was pretty big into sports at that age as well. I was a competitive swimmer and I played volleyball as well. And, you know, with arthritis in my knees, it was really hard to continue doing that. So eventually I did have to quit, which was tough because I loved doing that. But I don't think if I had quit that, I would have found music. So in a way, it all worked out.
Yeah. So let's kind of come a bit closer to the present day now.
Yeah.
So 2019, you started to get arthritis symptoms in your hands.
Yes.
Why was this different to before?
When I was diagnosed, I was told it was only in my knees. It was nowhere else in my body. So I never really thought anything of it. I didn't really think it was going to spread because I was doing pretty well once I got on the methotrexate, and it was managed pretty well. And there was a period I did go into remission for almost a year. And then, yeah, I just remember waking up one day in 2019 and I looked at my hand and my thumb was huge. It was red and swollen and it was really hot. And I was like, this is not good. And then, you know, the next couple of days it kind of progressed, and then my hands started getting really sore all of the time, and I lost my range of motion. And then I finally went back and I saw my rheumatologist, and we did a bunch of tests and x-rays, and then they said, yeah, it looks like it's spread into your hands now.
So at that point in 2019, did you know at that point, because you knew more about arthritis and what it entailed, the kind of impact that could potentially have on your life?
I did, yeah. Yeah, and that was really hard because being a trumpet player, my hands are so necessary for that. I need them. So to find out that it came back and it spread into my hands, which is the one place I didn't want it to spread, was really hard, yeah. There was a period of a few months where I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to keep playing the trumpet or what was going to happen. And it was really tough, but I had a lot of great support from my doctors, who were different than the ones who had diagnosed me.
So tell me a bit about the trumpet. I know from conversations we've already had that you're a very talented musician. So talk to me a bit about that, about what you do.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I've been playing about 7 or 8 years. I'm currently studying jazz trumpet performance at the University of Toronto. And I love it. It's so much fun. I love playing the trumpet. I just think it's the best. I love making music with other people. I just love it. It's so fun.
Once you had arthritis in your hands and you thought that you might have to give up playing the trumpet, and you'd already had experience of having to give up sport, so you knew that that was a real possibility. What was it about the trumpet that made you want to fight for it and to keep going with your dreams and your plans, despite the fact that it obviously caused you pain to play?
When I had to quit the sports I was doing, it was tough, but I knew that that was the best decision for me at the time for what I had to do to stay healthy. But I was worried for a while that I was going to have to stop playing the trumpet, or at least not pursue it to the level that I wanted to. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to stop. I really wanted to keep going, and I made that very clear to all of my doctors, and they were really great about that. And then they helped me find a good like routine of medications and physio. I went to hand therapy. I went for acupuncture, massage. I did pretty much everything I could to be able to keep playing the trumpet. Yeah.
Was there ever a point where you thought, you know what, it might be easier if I just did something else?
Yeah, there was, but I didn't want to. I felt like I had already lost so much to arthritis that I didn't want to let it take anything else. I felt like I was going to keep going to prove to myself that I could do it.
And were there any specific people at that point who were really like your cheerleaders, who really kept you going?
My parents have always been so great, so supportive. They always have done everything that they can to keep me healthy, and they've been so great. My music teachers have been so great. I've had a number of fantastic private teachers and school teachers for music. They've all been so supportive, which really helped a lot. And you know, in 2019, that's when I really started telling people that I had arthritis, and I became more open about it. And so the friends that I did tell were also very supportive about it. Everybody was really great.
So you had to adapt to playing the trumpet with arthritis in your hands. What specifically have you had to do to make that work? Do you play it differently from how you used to?
I don't play it any differently. I've got a number of wrist braces and finger splints and things like that that I usually do wear when I'm playing, just to keep my wrists stable. I've got some special equipment that it's like a little stand that hooks into the bottom of my trumpet, and it'll sit on the chair. It looks like a stick just coming out from the bottom of the trumpet, which takes some of the weight off. I can rest the weight on the stand instead of on my wrists, which is very helpful. And I've made significant changes to my medication in the past, especially in the past year, which has helped as well.
So have you had to adapt things like the amount of time you practice for at once?
For sure. Yeah. Before it spread into my hands, I would practice for hours at a time. And I never thought anything of it. I would just keep going. And now I have to be really conscious about it. You know, I try not to practice for too long, and I take breaks in between, and I try and space it out through the day. Instead of having one long practice session, I'll do some in the morning and then some later in the afternoon, and just try and space it out to give my hands a break.
So aside from the kind of splints and stuff, is there anything else specific that has really helped enable you to keep going?
Not specifically. Honestly, whenever I do play the trumpet, I always feel it. I don't play the trumpet and not be in pain. I'm always aware of it. It's always there.
You've also had quite a lot of transitions yourself over the past couple of years. So you said you're at university, you're studying jazz trumpet performance. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, that's been a really big transition. So I'm in my second year right now. But my first year was online, as it was for everybody all over because of COVID. You know, COVID's been a huge transition in itself, but transitioning from doing school online last year to doing it in person this year, moving across the country, living on my own, you know, it's all been a really big transition. And I'm still just trying to find my way through that.
Tell me a bit more about your course. So jazz trumpet performance. So what does it kind of involve? What kind of things do you study?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different music classes. Right now I'm taking a theory class, an ear training class, a class on jazz improv. There's a couple of bands as well. I'm in a small ensemble with about 6 people. And a larger group with 12 people. Last year there was a piano class. So it is all quite physically demanding, but I'm managing it pretty well.
So what made you decide to pursue that goal despite your hands? Because presumably you were already struggling at the point that you made the decision that that's what you wanted to study and that's what you were going to apply for.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to do it anyway?
I honestly couldn't imagine doing anything else. I really can't see myself studying anything else. I feel like university is such a big step that if I'm going to spend 4 years studying something, I want it to be something that I absolutely love.
Obviously, you started in a pandemic. It was all online. Did that make the actual studying part like harder or easier for you, do you think?
I think last year it was difficult because, you know, we were all in quarantine and we couldn't see anybody, so I was really just, you know, in my room doing all of my classes by myself. And especially, you know, with arthritis being immunocompromised, I didn't see anybody except my parents for about a year, which was really tough, that lack of social interaction with people. But the thing I did like is that it was, because it was online, it was more so self-paced. You could work at your own pace a little bit more, you know, with recorded lectures that you could watch whenever instead of a set time that you have to go to with a few things. So I found that that helped. But the lack of being around people, especially with a music degree, when you're, you know, you're supposed to be performing and playing with other people, and we didn't get to do any of that last year, that made it difficult.
So do you think the fact that you had already persevered through so much and adapted to so much, especially sort of since 2019, and kind of dealt with so much adversity, did that give you the tools that you needed to cope? Do you think that gave you sort of almost an advantage in terms of adapting to the weird circumstances?
I think it did.
So you're kind of used to rolling with the punches at this stage, I guess.
Honestly, yeah. I just kind of have no choice but to take everything as it comes, because life with arthritis can be so unpredictable. So yeah, I feel like it's definitely helped me just kind of learn to accept things as they come and work my way through them when I'm presented with them.
You've also had to transition over the past couple of years to adult rheumatology services, having obviously been with children's for a while. How has that been? Has that been challenging?
I think I've been very lucky. I've had a pretty smooth transition with that. I was with the children's rheumatology for 7 years up until last year. And then it was kind of like as soon as I turned 18, I went to one appointment and they said, okay, that's it. This is your last one with us. So I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to come eventually. I wasn't sure. I didn't know it was going to be presented quite like that. But yeah, I was able to get off the wait list for an adult rheumatologist pretty quickly, and I've been seeing him for the past year, and yeah, we've made a bunch of medication changes that are slowly working themselves out and we're coming along. But no, I think it was a pretty smooth transition. I'm still trying to find somebody in Toronto because I only have a rheumatologist in BC, so unfortunately, if I need to see a rheumatologist here, I can't. So still trying to figure that aspect of it, but I do have a good doctor back home.
What advice would you give anybody listening who might be about to move themselves from children's to adult services? Anything they should be prepared for or look up beforehand?
I would just say, honestly, continue to advocate for yourself, because you know your body and your situation with arthritis better than anybody. And transitioning from doctors that you've had for years to a brand new team can be really hard. You know, it's a lot of going over the same story, retelling, you know, pretty much everything that you've been through to new people, which can be a lot. But if there's something that you need from them, let them know, because they are there to help you. So just continue to advocate for yourself.
So to talk a bit now about living by yourself. So this year you've moved to Toronto from the other side of Canada. For those of us in the UK where one end to the other is about 2 days travel, how far exactly is that from British Columbia to Toronto?
I think it takes about a week to, if you were to drive. It's about a 5-hour flight.
What were you most apprehensive about when you were planning your move?
I was really nervous that I wasn't going to be able to do things on my own. You know, I've lived with my parents for 19 years and I've relied on them a lot to do things, especially once the arthritis spread into my hands. There was a lot of things that I couldn't do and I had to relearn how to do. So, you know, like opening jars, I couldn't do any of that by myself. You know, doing laundry, cooking, I really couldn't do any of that. So I was concerned about how that was going to work once I got here. But I've got quite a few little appliances, sort of things. Like I have an automatic can opener that you just attach the can with a magnet and then press a button. Attaches with a little magnet and then you press the button and it spins and does it for you. So little things like that have helped me so much. I could not function without them.
What were your family's biggest concerns, do you think? Were they the same as yours?
I think they were just worried because I've never lived away from them before. And I'm an only child, I don't have any siblings, so it's always just been my parents and I for 19 years.
Yeah.
So I think that they were concerned, you know, I wasn't moving somewhere an hour away, I was moving to the other side of the country, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I think they were worried about that, but it's going well. Yeah.
That was going to be my next question. How has it worked so far? But it sounds like pretty well.
Yeah, it's been going pretty well. It's been about 3 months, just about. So I'm still, you know, trying to figure out ways to do some things and just taking it day by day.
Apart from your cool tin opener thing, which I'm going to Google the minute we finish recording this, do you have any other like nifty tricks and tips that might help people with arthritis living at home? Living alone, even for the first time?
I also have some jar openers that are like sheets, but they're grippy, so it grips on, which makes jars easier to open, or, you know, bottles, anything like that. That's all I can think of that I've got for like cool little gadgets, but.
Do you get to go home for Christmas?
I do, yeah.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am, yeah. I'm going home in about 2 weeks. Once exams are done, and then I'll be home for just under a month.
Oh, that's really nice. You get some home comforts and your parents can spoil you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Are you living in, is it like university halls at the moment?
No, I have an apartment. Yeah, super close to campus. It's about 5 minutes from where my classes are.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I flew out here in the summer to look for a place to live because I wasn't guaranteed a spot. In university residence, it's only guaranteed for first years. And even though I wasn't on campus last year, it still didn't count as being first year. So yeah, we came out and we're trying to find somewhere to live, and I found a great place. You know, I need something close. because especially it gets really cold here in the winter, and the cold definitely affects my joints. So I needed somewhere close so I don't have to walk super long distances. But it, yeah, no, it's a great place. It's super close to everything, super close to grocery stores. There's a pharmacy right downstairs and a doctor's office. Yeah, so it's everything I need is pretty much right here.
That's amazing. And do you have like friends and stuff around who can help you out?
I do. Yeah, I have a friend in the building. I have some friends that live pretty close by. And I have, you know, such great people that I've met in Toronto that if I need anything, I can just call them and they'll be there. So it's really great.
How have you managed with meeting new people having an autoimmune disease in COVID times? Because I imagine you don't want to do all the mingling that certainly I did when I started university. Like, there's a lot more concerns around that now.
Yeah, it's definitely been tough. It's hard to... It was hard last year to meet people because it was all online. So you never got any face-to-face interaction. There's definitely more this year, but I'm still extremely careful, even though I've had both vaccines and my booster. But, you know, there's still... It's not worth it to take the risk. So I am very careful, but... You know, I've met some people in my classes and people that aren't in my classes that are in my program or, you know, other programs. And yeah, there have definitely been some people that I've been able to connect with, and they all respect that I am at risk and they won't take any risks around me.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's really great.
You said that one of your favorite things to do that obviously you weren't able to do last year was make music with other people.
Yes.
How do you go about, like, obviously there's the COVID element, but how do you also go about explaining to them about your arthritis and what that might mean in terms of when you can practice or how long you can rehearse for and stuff?
Especially during COVID, I've become very open with it. I have no problem going up to somebody and being like, hey, this is what I've got and this is what you need to know. So I am very open about it. I'm very open with telling people I'm immunocompromised. We have to be careful and everything like that, and everybody's been really great about that.
You said that particularly when you got diagnosed with JIA, in part because of how you were made to feel during the diagnosis, mm-hmm. you didn't tell anybody about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
What was the catalyst that changed that and got you to the point that now you are really happy to advocate for yourself?
I think just as I became older, I realized it's not something that's bad. So many people have it, and so many people don't know that. You know, it's not... The stereotype is that it's not something that young people get, when really so many of us have it. And it's not something that needs to be shied away from. And, you know, I think, especially with COVID, I've just been so open about telling people my needs, and that I need to be careful and safe, and I need to advocate for myself, because really nobody else is going to do that for me. And I think that there's so many people that feel the same way that I did when I was diagnosed, that they didn't want anybody to know because they felt like it was wrong. And, you know, if I can go around and tell people, like, it's not something that we need to hide from, then they can feel... that they can be more open about it too.
I think it's such an important example to set, especially when you're in a very particular sphere,
mm-hmm.
like music or like, I don't know, we've had sports people, for example, in the past, to just really try and break those boundaries down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout all of these changes that you have lived through, subjected yourself to over the past couple of years, what have been the things that have really kept you grounded and focused on your goals?
I think I've just always been a very goal-driven person, and I don't like to make a plan to do something and then not follow through with it. If I can help other people with, like, through music or through talking about, you know, arthritis, or if I can just help anybody in any way, then I will. And, like, I don't want other people to feel like they're alone in this.
Who/what has been your biggest support through all the bad times and kept you going?
definitely my parents, and I have some really amazing music mentors, especially trumpet mentors that have really kept me going. They've been so supportive through absolutely everything, and I don't know what I would do without them, and I'm so incredibly grateful. And they've always, you know, pushed me to do my best, but to not overdo it, not to push it so hard that I'm going to wreck my hands or, you know, cause something to go wrong. But they've always pushed me to keep going. And, you know, it's just been really inspiring and makes me want to keep doing it.
That's amazing that you've got that kind of community around you. So my final question for you today is, what advice would you give to people who are facing big changes in their lives, possibly their arthritis journey? What would you say to them that you wish you'd known sort of 2 years ago?
I would say that it's not a bad thing, and that it's not something that anybody needs to feel ashamed about, no matter how many times people make you feel like it is something that's bad. And, you know, be open about it. Tell people what you need. Tell people what you're going through, because it's really not an easy thing to go through by yourself. It's not something that anybody should go through by themselves. So really find people, even just one or two other people that are going to always be there and are always going to support you and help you. And that will make such a big difference.
Thank you very much, Sarah, for being my guest today on Arthur's Heroes. Your story is so interesting, and it's also great to have an international participant.
Very happy. Very happy to be the first Canadian.
Just if you want, I don't know if you have it in the same way for music, but if you have any like social media that you want to shout out where people can like see your work and the things that you do, then now is your chance.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I'm on Instagram. Sarah McIntyre Music is my account. I've got one song out on Spotify and iTunes, Apple Music. It's called Closer by Sarah McIntyre. You can find it there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arthur's Heroes. For more podcast information and access to loads of great content for young adults with arthritis, please visit arthursplace.co.uk. You can also find other young adults to chat to in the Arthur's Place social Facebook group. Follow Arthur's Place on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and find out more about Codeword Pineapple, the pin badge for people with an invisible disability, at codewordpineapple.org.uk. Thank you to Novartis UK for their support in the production of this podcast.